Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us once again this week. We are concluding our topic of the power to get wealth. Now, we've already concluded the live broadcast that we did from Faith and Victory Church on our last netcast, but I have a few closing comments that I want to make about our topic of the power to get wealth. So we're going to go right into that teaching right now. Now, we were reading from our, I guess you call it theme scripture, for this study, which is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, power, remember, we found out was ability as well as power, okay? So think of it that way, the ability to get wealth. He's given us that. Why? That he might establish his covenant on the earth, as he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day, that he might establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day, is the way it reads. But I like to go ahead and look at it as to establish his covenant here on the earth. Now, there's, as we said before, there's a twofold meaning to that. Both he will establish his covenant by us getting the wealth necessary to preach the gospel, which is important, and because he has promised financial blessing to us, his doing that, his blessing us with financial blessing, establishes his covenant to us. So that twofold meaning, both things apply, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we conclude this study today. Now, first of all, before we even, you know, think about God's will for us to prosper, we absolutely have to confirm it is his will for us to prosper. So for that purpose, let's go to 3 John verse 2. Now, 3 John only has one chapter, so that's why we put it that way. 3 John, you could say chapter 1 verse 2, but there's only one chapter, so it kind of goes without saying. All right, so 3 John verse 2, beloved, now who's he talking to? He's talking to beloved. Well, who are the beloved? The beloved are Christians, amen? So you're one of the beloved if you're a believer. Beloved, I wish or desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. Now I want you to realize a couple of things here. John here is the elder. He says in verse 1 of this particular book, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius whom I love in the truth. This is the elder John. Now I stress that because John, the elder, has seen a lot in his years of ministry. He was one of the original 12 apostles. He saw Jesus minister in his earthly ministry. He was what was called the beloved of Jesus. Jesus loved John so much and respected him so much that when he was on the cross, he turned to John and said, "Behold your mother," speaking of Jesus' mother, Mary. He said, "Behold your mother, mother, behold your son." In other words, he was telling them, you two are to be as mother and son. John, I want you to take care of my mother as though she were your mother. And he did that. Okay? So John was a special, you might say, apostle to Jesus, a special friend to Jesus, one that he trusted greatly. John saw Jesus in his earthly ministry in a very special and close way, okay? Now, I say that to say this. If anyone knew the will of God, if anyone knew what God's desire was for his people, it would be John the Beloved, all right? As a matter of fact, God chose this same John to write the Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, to the church, which is the book of Revelation. And that tells us how everything's going to be tied up in these last of the last days. So even that special revelation was given to this man, John. All right? So here's John the Beloved. He's sharing with the Beloved, meaning the Christians of his day, and to us as well, because it's the Word of God. Then I want you to think about this. What he wrote by anointing of the Holy Spirit. He wrote by instruction of the Holy Spirit. And in effect, this is not the words just of John who wrote them down. It's the Word of God. These scriptures that we're reading are just that, scripture. Okay, now why do I bring that out? Because what we need to understand is the authority of what he's saying here. Now let's go and read it. I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper. And that word prosper means prosper financially. It's not talking about some spiritualized, you know, I mean prosperity in some weird cosmic sense. No, it's talking about money. I want you to prosper financially, and I want you to be in health physically, even as or in a as a, the proportion to your soul prospering. Okay? Now, a lot of people listen to us, Word of Faith ministers, and they say, all you guys ever talk about is prosperity and health, prosperity and health, prosperity and health. Why do you talk about the message of prosperity and the message of healing so much? Because these are the two things that God, through John, said, I desire above all things. So in other words, if you've got two things that are above all things in terms of importance to the believer, isn't that what you talk about? And I'll tell you something else. You remember that God gives us the power and ability to get wealth in order to establish his covenant? I want you to think about this. In order to establish his covenant here in the earth, you've got to be financially prosperous, that's wealth, and you have to be physically well. If you're bedfast, you can't go into all the world. If you're sick, you can't effectively minister to people. You know? I mean, you have to be well. And you have to prosper in order to be able to carry out the Great Commission. That just goes without saying. But sometimes we have to say these things so that it'll strike your thinking and you'll realize why some of these things are so. So the reason that God desires that you prosper and be in health, first of all, he's a loving heavenly father. I mean, think about it. You know, if you have a son or a daughter, you want them to prosper. You want them to be in health. Well, it's the same way with God. He wants us to prosper and be in health. But there's even a further reason beyond your own prosperity and health. And this is the part that a lot of Christians need to get a hold of. And that is that there's a purpose in prosperity and there's a purpose in health, that you minister effectively to the world, that you reach the world. Financially, it takes wherewithal to reach the world, okay? And physically, it takes health to reach the world. So that's why it's important. And that's one of the reasons that he says, I desire above all things that you prosper financially and be in health physically. Now, what about this, even as thy soul prospereth? Well, we know that the soul is the part of man that incorporates the mind, the will, and the emotions. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. Okay? Now, your mind, your will, and your emotions are the part of you that can be the battleground for Satan. Satan will attack your mind. He will attack you emotionally. He will attack you in the mental realm. And since that's the realm that he attacks, that's what he fires those fiery darts at to try to attack you, then you need to resist him in that realm. And as your soul prospers, that is the proportion to the fact that you will prosper financially and be in health physically. And that's what John is saying here. If you will prosper in your soul. Now, what does it mean to prosper in your soul? Well, that means renew your mind to the Word of God. Renew your emotions to the Word of God. In other words, be in control of your emotions. Now, I'm not talking about being some kind of robot or being, you know, Mr. Spock on Star Trek that's so completely in control of emotions that you're, you know, just dour. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not letting your emotions run away with you, not letting your emotions drive you. Rather, you are in charge of your own emotions. There are times to be wildly happy. I tell you, there's been some church services I have been amazingly happy, rejoicing in the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. There's also times that you're called on to be quiet and serious and studious, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're just driven by emotion, there is something wrong with that. You need to be in control, meaning your spirit man needs to be in control of your emotional realm, okay? So that's one area of prosperity of the soul, is to be in control of your emotions. And again, when I say control, I'm not talking about harsh control. I'm talking about not letting your emotions run away with you, okay? Then you need to be in control in the mental realm, not let your mind run off in various directions that it doesn't need to run off in. And the best way to do that is to control what you put in your mind, what you hear. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Well, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then fear cometh by hearing the word of the devil. So you don't need to be hearing the word of the devil. You don't need to be listening to things that are not scriptural and are not sound and are not lovely and of good report. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You need to be in control of what goes into your mind and what you are renewing your mind to. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3 talks about don't be conformed to this world system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To what? To the Word of God. Renew your mind to the Word of God. So as you do that, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions will prosper. And as that area of your being prospers, then you will prosper financially and be in health physically. All right? Then I want us to look at, and these are just things I want to kind of tie up in our study as we close this out. We could spend weeks just studying these very items. But I want to look at specifically certain things. Now, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, this is part of what we call the great exchange. There was a great exchange that took place. Jesus gave us, made us, his righteousness. He took upon him our sin on the cross. Well, he laid aside his wealth and riches as the Son of God, and we took upon us his riches. In other words, our financial well-being comes from heaven. Hallelujah. But I want you to read that verse of Scripture again, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Well, when was he rich? He was rich in heaven, obviously. I mean, heaven, we're told, has streets out of solid gold that's so pure it's transparent. Hallelujah. That's pretty rich. Amen. But not only that, he was rich even here on the earth. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I can't be Dr. Bill. That just can't be. No, it's true. Did you know that when the wise men brought Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? For one thing, frankincense and myrrh were very, 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 very rare and expensive spices. That was a form of wealth. But the gold, according to research, the value, today's value, equivalent value of the gold that they gave to Jesus, they didn't give him a gold coin in a box. They gave him gold. They gave him a lot of gold. And the value of it was estimated at $100 billion. Woo! Is it $400 billion or $400 million? I don't remember exactly. Dr. Bill Winston was talking about this, and I heard it on his radio program last week. And I was thinking, wow. Now you say, why in the world would the wise men give Jesus and his family, you know, Joseph and Mary at that time, why'd they give them so much money? Because they were going to Egypt. They had to go to Egypt to avoid Herod and what he was trying to do with killing all those children that were 2 years of age and younger. And they needed money to travel. And they needed money to live off of. Well, you say, well, $400 million, that would do it. Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't think they spent all that money on that trip to Egypt? No, they didn't. That money was set aside, and Jesus operated off that during his ministry. He supported all the people that were with him. They had a treasurer named Judas. Remember him? Now, if you don't have any money, why would you have a treasurer? He kept up with the money, and there was so much money. Think about this. Judas was skimming off the top. Nobody noticed. So he had some finances, all right? But even so, when he was hanging on the cross, they had stripped him of everything. His clothes, they'd stripped him of everything he had. He lost all that he had. He was made poor. Whether you look at it as from the perspective of where he was in heaven and his riches there by coming to earth, he was made poor. Or whether you look at it as natural riches here upon the earth like the gold, all that was now gone and he was poor. Either way, he was stripped to nothing. He was made poor. Now, why was he made poor? He was made poor that ye, through his poverty, might be or be made rich. In the same way you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have been made rich in Christ Jesus. Now, last thing I want to share with you is Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at beginning in verse 11. Not that this is, of course, Paul writing to the Philippian church. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, talking about Paul here, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, which means have nothing, and I know how to abound or be financially prosperous. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we take that one scripture kind of out of context and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that's true, but it's in the broader context of, look, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. I am not speaking to you in respect of want, because I know how to prosper, and I know how to be poor. This is Paul speaking here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding you have done well when you communicate with my affliction or pressure. The word affliction is thlipsis, which means pressure in the Greek. And he was under some pressure. And they gave finances to him, and that helped him with the pressure that he was under. Now, you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no one communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not that I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And I have all and abound, because I received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing in God. But my God shall supply all your needs. See, this puts it in a different perspective. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we quote that scripture and we pull it out of context. And we say, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you givers like the church here in Philippi, in Macedonia? I had a message a long time ago called, Are You a Macedonian Giver? do you give beyond your natural ability to give? Because you're the ones that he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? So you need to take a leaf from their book, so to speak, and become a Macedonian giver. You need to be a giver that gives even beyond your natural ability to give. Their heart was in their giving. They wanted to bless Paul. And Paul said, man, I am not saying this because I have want. I'm not saying this because I know how to prosper. I know how to abound. I know how to not abound. You know, and abounding's better, all right? But the point is, I'm not saying this because of wanting a financial gift. I'm saying this because this is going to abound to your account. Because as you give, it shall be given you again, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Luke 6:38. So how does that work? You give, it's given back to you. But God's desire is that you prosper. Unquestionably so. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what, we're just about out of time. We're going to have to stop right here. We'll tie this subject up and we'll pick up with a new subject next week. But I just wanted to share these things with you. This is important information that you need to hear. You need to be a giver that is like those in Macedonia, a Macedonian giver. You need to be one who gives even beyond your natural ability, but gives because you have a heart to give toward God and his work. And that's why he gives us the ability to get wealth. Praise the Lord. All right. I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 59, excuse me, I'm confusing another address, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27262. Look at it on the screen, praise the Lord. I got confused because I was thinking of another address, but praise the Lord. Write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. We love to hear from you. You know, that's why I do this almost live. I don't pull the punches. I just go ahead and do it almost live. But you can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wofm.org. Now, our website, wofm.org, I cannot say it enough. It is an important resource for you to have all the resources we have made available through that website. And those include audio teachings. Those include video teachings. We have all kinds of articles out there. There's some excellent articles. And I feel funny saying that because I wrote them, but, you know, praise the Lord, it's the Word of God. But there are articles out there that will bless you and help you. And not only that, but be a tool for you to help you reach people, reach maybe members of your own family that need to understand the Word of Faith message. And that's why we're out there. WOFM.org, which stands for Word of Faith Ministries. And I would love for you to take advantage of everything that we've got out there. And then another area, two more things actually, another area is Word of Faith Radio, WOFR.org. Word of Faith Radio has tremendous speakers preaching and teaching the uncompromising Word of Faith. You need to tune in to Word of Faith Radio, and there's more opportunities to do that all the time. There's micro-broadcasting stations now where you can hear it over the regular airwaves, and then, of course, through the internet, the regular internet radio as well, which, of course, if you go to that website, it'll just start playing, and you can start listening to it right there. And then, of course, also the second thing I wanted to mention to you is our SpeakFaith.tv project, which you can get to at SpeakFaith.tv, the website. And then also, if you go on the Roku box, the Roku device, at SpeakFaith.tv, the website, up in the upper right-hand corner is a link that you can click on in order to purchase a Roku device. But once you get your device, once you get signed up with Roku at their website, and then you subscribe to the SpeakFaith.tv site, oh my, there are tremendous ministries available for you there. Jerry Savelle, Dr. Larry Hutton, J.B. Whitfield, pastor of Agape Faith Church, Mark and Janet Brzee. Actually, they're on our SpeakFaith.tv beta site, which is the beta version. And there's more about that in our past broadcast, we've talked about that. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to cut it a bit short. But you can get all of these great ministries, Pastor Ed Taylor, our ministry, all through speakfaith.tv, and I'd encourage you to do that. Praise the Lord. It will be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to us to be able to minister these things to you. So join us there. Join us on Word of Faith Radio, and then join us next week. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.